You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, September 13th, 2017.
A process that kind of shows the integrity with which we run our business, including accountability, financial management, conflict of interest, managing all sorts of things to show that we are working in the best interest of the funds and the land that we're given.
Coming up later in the show, WFHB correspondent Alex Davis speaks with Sycamore Land Trust Communications Director Abby Hankel about the trust's work toward accrediting the land it receives.
Also coming up in the next half hour, the theft of data from consumer credit monitoring giant Equifax means almost every American adult is at risk of having their identity stolen. More on the Equifax breach and what precautions you should take coming up later in the show on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, here are your daily headlines.
The Illinois-based plastics company Phoenix Closures Incorporated is poised to take over the former Otis Elevator property on South Curry Pike here in Bloomington. In return for an anticipated $14 million investment in the property, along with the proposed creation of 73 new jobs, the company may receive a 10-year tax break. Phoenix Closure manufactures lids and containers for a variety of products, including peanut butter, vitamins, and cosmetics. Dana Palazzo with the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation told the county council during its meeting last night that Phoenix Closures is outgrowing its existing facilities in Illinois, Tennessee, and Iowa.
And this plant will be a brand new facility for them. They are expecting some expansion and growth, and so they had several different options across the Midwest, and we actually brought them in about 6 or 8 months ago. We had lunch with them and several of their owners. This is a sixth generation company, so it's been in operation for over 127 years. We talked to them about the workforce here and the advantages of Monroe County, and they were really impressed.
Palazzo says the potential for employees to be trained locally was also a big draw for the company.
When we talked about the workforce here, they were interested to know that Ivy Tech can kind of do whatever training that they might need for the folks that they want to hire. So not only can we attract the Monroe County residents, but those living here could potentially go through Ivy Tech and get the training that they need to then work at Phoenix Closures.
Palazzo says the company has made arrangements with Sarin Industries, which purchased the former Otis plant last year, to continue operating there for the time being.
They will purchase the building, and then as Jeff mentioned, Sarin Industries, that are currently taking up about half of the building, will remain under a 5-year lease, and that works perfectly for Phoenix. From what they've said, that's what they need right now, but they do plan to hopefully potentially grow, and they'll start out with probably not all of the 73 jobs on at year one, but plan to get up to 73 jobs over the next few years.
Palazzo says the company would also be hiring local contractors to renovate the building. Councilmember Shelley Yoder was one of several council members to express excitement over the prospect of Phoenix Closures bringing new jobs to the county.
I reiterate that. It's very exciting. And it's what I appreciate about them. It has a sort of a wide spectrum of the kind of jobs that they're going to be bringing. And that's good for our local economy.
Councilmember Jeff McKim says those new jobs will carry an above average wage.
I just want to note for the record, the council packet does include all of the positions in there and the way the starting hourly wage. And although the city's living wage ordinance doesn't actually apply to us, just it makes a good reference point as to salaries. And all of the wages, even the very lowest wages, are above the threshold that would apply to the city's living wage ordinance.
According to the council's meeting packet, salaries at the new facility would range from $15 an hour to $45 an hour. The company says 89% of its employees will be hired in Monroe County. County council members gave their preliminary approval to the 10-year tax abatement and declared the area an economic revitalization area prerequisite for tax abatement. The council will take a final vote after a public hearing.
The City of Bloomington Utilities Department will be replacing the city's water delivery pipes over several years. According to Utilities Department Director Vic Kelson, over 75% of Bloomington's water mains are over 50 years old. Water mains are large pipes buried under city roads and sidewalks and are the main highways through which water is moved around in cities. Kelson says that the total replacement of the city's water mains is a more cost-efficient option than repairing breaks in the pipe network as they arise. Yesterday, a water main burst on South Walnut Street, flooding several lanes of the Bloomington North-South Corridor.
This is, it took a lot of time to get those pipes in the ground, and it'll take a lot of time to get those pipes replaced. We're planning to spend around $1.8 million per year, every year, going forward for the next, right now we just passed a rate case and started the program this year. But that's going to be going on for basically the foreseeable future.
Kelson says the city will prioritize the replacement of water mains with a record of past issues, followed by those feeding IU Health, Bloomington, schools, and neighborhoods already in line for road work. Neighborhood residents can expect temporary lack of water service during the main replacement and road patching.
The disruption for the homeowners is typically pretty small. In the neighborhoods, there may be cases where you'll have to drive around where our people are working.
Residents can check road closures and water main repair schedules on the city's website at bloomington.in.gov.
Monroe County businesses may be subjected to audits for personal property under a new contract adopted by the county commissioners. Today's meeting, the county commissioners approved a contract with property evaluation firm Nexus Group to identify and assess business property value that may be undervalued or underreported. County Assessor Judith Sharp says the state of Indiana previously conducted in-depth audits, but budget and personnel cuts mean counties must now conduct what she refers to as desk audits.
When we do a desk audit, when you would send your personal property forms to us yearly, we look at what you send in. We looked at what you sent in last year. If it's pretty close, we take their word for it. Of course we would.
While Sharp says no one will specifically be targeted, she told the county council that her department will be looking closely at apartment communities in the area, which may be undervaluing their businesses' property values.
We have a lot of those. And our apartment complexes, especially the new ones that are fully furnished, that's personal property. All of the furnishings inside an apartment is personal property. Well, that's self-reporting. And most of them, I think, do a pretty good job. But they have stove, refrigerators, washer and dryers, microwaves, dishwashers. They usually have equipment rooms. They have computer rooms. I mean, these are top of the line, so there can be a lot of money.
Under state law, business owners with $20,000 or less of personal property aren't required to pay property taxes. Sharp says these businesses may also come under scrutiny for undervaluation or underreporting of property value.
Speaking to other counties, I think this could be a win-win for everybody, including the business owners, because the business owners are, we all you know, all of your money goes into one big pot, so the tax rate is based upon what everybody turns in. So if somebody isn't turning in as much as somebody else, they're not doing what they should, tax rates go up, so everybody has to make up the difference.
Commissioners Patrick Stauffers asked Sharp whether other counties are benefiting by stepping up audits through independent contractors.
They're doing this in other counties?
Yes, sir.
With what kind of results?
They have actually, I think it was in Rush or Shelby, okay? They're both right there together, and they're smaller counties. They brought in just this year, in that one county, $500,000 of new taxes. Not assessed value, but actually brought in. Now, that was a big company that had not been reporting, right? And it was some smaller county or some smaller company as well, sir, but it was $500,000 of taxes.
Under the contract, Nexus Group will be paid $90 per hour. Back taxes recouped by the firm's audits will cover the contract cost. As for the businesses being audited, Sharp says under state law, she can ask for records as far back as 10 years. The due date for paying back taxes is also left up to Sharp's discretion. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. Now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
The Sycamore Land Trust has expanded its conservation efforts across South Central Indiana since its inception nearly 30 years ago. Now, as the Land Trust is adding another employee, WFHB correspondent Alex Davis speaks with Sycamore Land Trust Communications Director Abby Hankel about the extent of the Trust's work in conservation and the challenges they face.
The Sycamore Land Trust is hiring a new staff member. The conservation-focused nonprofit began in Bloomington in 1990. Now the Land Trust covers 26 counties across Indiana. According to Sycamore Land Trust website, sycamorelandtrust.org, the organization aims to build an appreciation for nature and to protect land for a healthier Hoosier landscape. Sycamore Land Trust Communications Director Abby Hankel says the organization grew from a handful of volunteers to over 1,000 current members. Hankel says that last year the conservation organization counted over 4,000 people taking part in its educational programming. Hankel says that the organization's growth is the reason for hiring its newest member, Chris Fox.
Chris Fox was our most recent hire, and that expanded our full-time staff to 7, which is the largest it's ever been. Currently, we're not hiring anymore. That was a big step for us to open this new position. At the moment, you know, we're sticking with our 7 full-time staff and our one SPIA master's student as our graduate assistant, and then we're working with the staff right now to, you know, enhance our team.
Hankel says hiring isn't the first time Sycamore Land Trust has expanded its handful of staff members.
2 years ago, we hired our first full-time environmental education director, and that's been a major focus of ours. So sometimes Shane Gibson is our environmental education director, and sometimes he'll work with Chris on certain land stewardship projects and volunteer days that kind of coincide with environmental education. For example, we're doing a monarch butterfly tagging event later this month to help scientists track monarch butterflies and their migration down to Mexico. We'll be tagging the monarchs here, and then when they land in Mexico, scientists will find them and, you know, see how their migration patterns are doing, because it's a species that's facing some threats. And last year, our environmental education program actually reached 4,000 people, which is the biggest it's ever been. A lot of those programs take place in schools, which is a program that we provide for free to schools.
Hankel says a lot of Sycamore Land Trust work in southern Indiana is dedicated to public outreach and educational opportunities.
So a lot of our environmental education program entails going into classrooms and getting kids outside of the classrooms. We really like to focus on ongoing projects. Our environmental education director, Shane Gibson, will go develop a curriculum that meets the needs of that specific classroom. We try to uphold state standards for education, but he'll work with each individual teacher and see what their class needs. And Shane's great at being flexible. So he'll get there and maybe he was planning on doing reading a book that day or doing part of the native prairie planting that we actually do with schools on their campuses. But, you know, if a class is feeling rowdy or something like that, he'll take them outside and play a game with them that's based on nature, like a predator-prey kind of game. So Shane goes into schools, and that's all across southern Indiana, all the way down to Evansville and up to Bloomington. And then we also do nature hikes and lots of outdoors events that are open to the public, too. And those are listed on our website.
The Land Trust began in Bloomington and is best known for its Bean Blossom Bottoms Nature Preserve in Ellettsville. Hankel says that Sycamore Land Trust has 16 of the preserves open to the public.
We actually have 16 public nature preserves, and a lot of them are in Monroe County because that's where we got our start. So it just made sense that we started to acquire land here. But these 16 public preserves are totally free to visit, and they run the gamut of different types of, all different types of habitats. So we've got wetlands and forests and swampy areas and prairies. So if people want to visit our preserves, the best place to go is our website. They can also request a free nature preserve guide that we'll mail to them.
The preserves include 32 miles of trails, which have their own trash pickup and maintenance crews. Hankel says Chris Fox was hired to take care and maintain the wildlife conservations.
Chris was hired to work with John Lawrence, who's our assistant director. And John has been here for 11 years. He does all sorts of things that assistant directors do. You know, they kind of cover all bases. John has been doing land stewardship for a long time, which is taking care of the properties we own. Chris will be primarily working with him, focused solely on land stewardship, which gives John more time to do all the other administrative activities that he has.
Fox graduated from Indiana University's School of Public and Environmental Affairs. He has conducted field research with the Smithsonian and has worked for Franklin County's Soil and Water Conservation District. Hankel says that their goal is to work to accreditation.
Well, we're always continuing to grow strategically in the land that we hold. We look a lot at owning land. We hold about 4,000 acres in conservation easements, which are contracts that we have with landowners to protect certain conservation assets. But what we like to focus on also is land ownership. So that means that we own the land forever and we protect it. So we do restoration projects and invasive species management and things like that. So really what we're looking to do is just continue being a steward of the land.
This approval has granted them the responsibility of taking care of a total of 9,160 acres across Indiana. The Sycamore Land Trust also helps other organizations with another 10,000 acres through donations and agreements. Each property is visited at least once a year, and Chris Fox will be responsible for maintaining that acreage. Hankel says that maintenance includes looking out for and dealing with invasive species.
Chris is the land stewardship manager, so what he does at Sycamore is actually visits the properties that we protect and monitors them to see if things are going well, and if they're not, or if there are projects we could do, then he implements those projects. So he leads volunteer days, he monitors invasive species and protected species to try to control those populations in the right direction, and since we have all these conservation easements that we protect with landowners, he has to go to them and make sure that the easements are actually being upheld. So if no logging is allowed on the property, then he has to go and actually make sure that logging is not taking place.
The nonprofit organization owns 50 of the preserves that it protects, and another 35 properties it oversees have an agreement with owners. Hankel says those agreements total 4,000 acres in easements.
One thing we're going through right now is we're applying for land accreditation, a really intensive process that goes with the Land Trust Alliance that covers the entire country, a process that kind of shows the integrity with which we run our business, including accountability, financial management, conflicts of interest, managing all sorts of things to show that we are working in the best interest of the funds and the land that we're given. We'll continue to work in southern Indiana in the 26 counties that we work in, but accreditation really is just a signal to our donors and other funders and the public that we work with that we are working at the very highest standards. So it's more like a seal of approval, but it takes a lot of work to get there.
Hankel says one misconception people tend to have about land conservation is that donations are only welcome if donators have a lot of money or a lot of land worth preserving.
One thing I want to clarify is that a lot of people think land trusts are just for landowners and people with lots of money or lots of land that they can donate, which is not at all the case. We are funded and supported, and the volunteers who come here are just mostly just regular people. We have over 1,100 members right now, which are people who annually support us with a gift of $40 or more. We had a campaign this summer where people could give just $20 to become a member. We really want to set the bar at a place where all kinds of people can join and feel like they're a part of land conservation. Conservation is just hugely important to protecting our environment and ensuring that it's going to be healthy in the future, because when we protect land, we protect it forever. And so we really need everyone's support for that.
Recently, the Bean Blossom Bottoms Nature Preserve was recognized by the Society of Wetland Scientists as a Wetlands of Distinction. Discovered in 2012, the preserve is home to Indiana's federally endangered bat.
That was WFHB correspondent Alex Davis speaking with Sycamore Land Trust Communications Director Abby Hankel.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware, guides you through the financial dangers from a breach in Equifax's consumer data.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Well, what with the hurricane slamming Texas and Florida, you might have missed the story about the massive storm that just hit you and me. A huge data breach at Equifax. Along with TransUnion and Experian, Equifax is one of the three companies that hold personal data and calculate credit scores for all Americans. Last Thursday, Equifax announced that, quote, criminals, end quote, had stolen all the personal data in their database, covering 143 million people. It happened 2 or 3 months ago, but they only just admitted it. If you have a mortgage or a car loan or a credit card, this means you. And it's very serious. It includes your legal name, your birth date, social security number, address, and financial history. Credit analyst John Oldtimer called this data the crown jewels of personal information. Yep, face it. Everything needed to steal your identity is now available to any crook on the planet. And it's out there forever. You can actually check to see if your name is included in the data breach by going to EquifaxSecurity2017.com. That's EquifaxSecurity2017.com. I checked, and I'm a victim. Dollars to donuts, so are you. So what can we do? Well, not all that much, but there are a few things. First and foremost, keep a close watch on all your bills, especially credit card bills and bank statements. Immediately question any charge you don't understand, no matter how small. Some of the sneakier scammers just tack a tiny little bogus charge on your account because scraping a couple of bucks from thousands of people adds up to millions. You and I will have to do this for the rest of our lives. And you should probably get in touch with all three credit bureaus, TransUnion and Experian, as well as Equifax, and put a fraud alert on your account. The danger is that some criminal or terrorist will open up a new account in your name, and a fraud alert will force a lender to contact you directly before approving the application. You might even want to put a credit freeze on your credit. This costs money but does protect you. Although you'll have to pay another fee to lift the freeze if you want to finance something or get a new credit account. You have to do these things with all three companies, and you should check your credit with each of them every year. This stinks, big time. But the hurricane victims will have to live with the devastation for months or years, and we're just going to have to live with this danger permanently. Fraudsters can be very patient. Nothing may happen for years, but if somebody wants to steal your identity and take over your life, they've got everything they need to do that. Welcome to the 21st century. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis and Jonah Chester. along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Alex Davis.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.